Welcome to The Sunday Soother, a podcast, newsletter, and community about authentic living and compassionate personal development. I'm your host, Catherine Andrews, a life coach, online teacher, and writer focused on self-reflection, mindfulness, and how to create meaning in our everyday lives in practical ways. Join me weekly for conversations about personal growth, spirituality, self-discovery, and self-care, and how we can navigate this messy world with hope and humanity. Hey everybody, it's Catherine here, host of The Sunday Soother, and welcome back to a special midweek holiday edition episode of The Sunday Soother. I was just thinking today, actually pretty much just right now, that I've been sharing a lot of holiday resources and tips and wisdom over on my Instagram, and I thought it might be nice if I compiled them for a special like Thanksgiving holiday edition of The Sunday Soother, because this time of year can be great. I mean, I'm sitting here, all my candles going, my incense going, my twinkly lights up, my Christmas tree's out. To be totally honest, never put my Christmas tree away. I just kept, it's a fake tree, obviously, kind of this like small fashion one, like fashion Christmas tree. And it just made me happy. And after, you know, 2 years of the pandemic, I was like, fuck it, this tree is staying out all year. It's just my tree now. Anyway, so, you know, a lot of it's like a really cozy time for some of us. And for a lot of us, it's also a really hard time because there are family dynamics and travel and overwhelm and resentment or anger or fights, and boundary issues that can come up. So I wanted to just drop in and offer you a few notes today. I'm going to talk about three different topics. Some boundaries insights, then I'm going to give you some tips on protecting your energy, and then I'm going to talk a little about gratitude and how gratitude, TBH, has never really worked for me. And I used to think that something was wrong with me, but then I just decided that I needed a different approach, and I'll talk about what I do instead. So let's start with boundaries. I know we all know the word and the term and kind of understand what it means. And it can be sort of an intellectual understanding, but putting boundaries into place for many of us, especially around family, especially around this time of year, can be kind of hard. Some kinds of boundaries that you might be thinking about are the amount of time you're willing to spend visiting somebody for the holidays, what you're willing and able to eat or not eat, the topics of conversation that are okay with you or not okay with you. The amount of money spending on gifts or what kind of gifts you want to receive, lots of things, right? Like the holidays and any associated family time are rife with these opportunities for boundaries. And I just wanted to start off by saying that boundaries, are extremely hard for sensitive people. And I think for people in general. And so not to shame yourself if you find boundaries, difficult, or sometimes if you feel like the idea of setting a boundary may make you feel literally physically ill, or if you keep meaning to set a boundary, don't do it, and then you shame and guilt yourself afterwards. There's a lot of reasons why boundaries are really difficult for sensitive people. What I think is that there were real consequences for children. Children naturally know how to set boundaries. No, I don't want to. I'm not going to. Of course, we beat that out of them and tell them they have to, they need to, just this once, do it to make me happy, et cetera, et cetera. But for some of us, there may have been very real consequences for asserting our boundaries in childhood, especially as sensitive people. We may have been shamed, guilted, rejected, gotten our parents or other adults may have gotten angry at us for these assertions of natural boundaries. And when that happened, that's when we learned to subsume our needs, subsume our ability to make boundary requests in order to continue to gain love and acceptance. So if boundaries are hard for you now, it makes sense. Probably you didn't get to have a lot of boundaries as a child, and there were very real consequences for when you did state boundaries. So just as always, giving yourself a lot of compassion and grace around this. You're relearning a way of being. That said, probably you want to learn to set boundaries a little bit. And as a sensitive person, you may have been using our favorite tool that actually doesn't work at all, but somehow makes us feel kind of good, which is control, right? And I've written a lot in the Sunday Soother newsletter about control. You may want to go back and find my post on healthy control that I wrote at thesundaysoother.com. But when we're attempting to be seen, to state boundaries, to be safe, a lot of the time our focus is going over on like trying to get the other person to do something. And so we'll spend a lot of our energetic and emotional and mental effort on figuring out, one, either how we can like control a situation so we can avoid the need for that boundary to come up, or how we blame another person for like not respecting our boundaries and trying to get them to respect our boundaries. And unfortunately, this strategy doesn't work. Maybe it works a little bit, but it doesn't work kind of all the way, right? So what I want to offer here is something that I wrote about on my Instagram, which is how you can start to think of family dynamics and boundaries like a little bit of a dance pattern between you and one or more people. So when we're dancing with one person or a group of people, there is a general pattern, right? Like we're responding to each other in the dance. One person puts a foot forward, the other person takes a step back, one person, I don't know what happens in dance, I'm a horrible dancer, but like there's a guidance to go to the left and the other person responds by going to the right. There's a natural rhythm and flow and pattern and expectations of what happens in a dance. And what I want to offer is that when we're engaged in boundary struggles, especially with family members, but in any group dynamic, the workplace, friendships, relationship dynamics, there's usually a quote unquote dance going on. So if you want to get a result that is important to you, instead of trying to get somebody else to do a different dance step, you change your dance, right? And then you know that you don't have to, quote unquote, get the other person to do anything. In fact, you can't. It's, you know, this is the thing about control. It's really manipulative. Other people have the right, even if their actions are not good, you know, or whatever they are, like other people have autonomy over their behaviors and choices and their words. And when we try to get them to not do those things, that is incredibly manipulative, right? So we have to remember that these are, even though they're not acting in the ways that they like or in ways that are harmful to us, it is still their choice, right? But if you're in this dance with a family member or a coworker or whatever, you don't have to get them to do anything. All you have to do is either stop dancing or decide to do a completely different dance step. And by default, because you choose differently, because you acted differently, their dance will have to change. If one person in the dance changes the pattern and holds to that new pattern over and over again, it affects every other single dancer in the dance, right? And so like what I offer to you here is that try to document what is the dance that goes on, whether this is your family of origin or a chosen family or friends or a coworker situation. A dance could look something like this. Say, I'm just going to use a classic example of like a mom, a dad, and a kid, okay? But you can apply this to anything. Say that a dad says something critical of the mother, excuse me, and the mother deflates and then turns to the child to complain about the father, and the child reacts by trying to soothe over the mother. This is like an extremely common example, right? And in fact, let me Google this because I always forget what it's called. This is what can be called the Cartman drama triangle, which models the connections between responsibility and power in conflicts and the shifting roles that people play. And usually in the Cartman triangle, or always in the Cartman triangle, I can't say words tonight, Cartman drama triangle, there is somebody who's playing a bully or a persecutor role. There's somebody who's playing a rescuer or a savior role, and there's somebody who's playing a victim or like a helpless person role. So in this dance that I'm talking about, you have the dad being the bully, criticizing the mother. You have the mom being the victim, kind of helpless, and then you have the child who learns to be the rescuer and come in by holding space for the mom to complain about the dad and soothe the mom and say how like the criticisms aren't true or anything like that. So document your dance, right? And so that's one example of a dance. Another example of a dance could be that somebody inevitably brings up politics, right? That are in opposition to your own. And, like clockwork, they bring it up after two glasses of wine. They know they're provoking. You respond. If somebody in your family tries to get you both to stop doing it, it ends up like escalating. Somebody leaves the table and there's a blow up, right? So I want you to really think about your dance. Like, what are the patterns of stuff that happens in your family that you're kind of dreading this holiday season? And like, what are the steps? Who takes the first step? Who takes the second step? Who takes the third step? Who takes the fourth step? And then I want you to think, how do you, one, either totally just stop dancing, or two, how do you do a different dance step? And stopping dancing would just be like just neutrally leaving the room when the conversation or the dance starts to happen. Doing a really neutral, non-committal, right? Not attending the holidays at home is stopping the dance, right, on your part. And then doing a different dance move may be saying something like, actually saying something neutral would be like a different dance move, especially if you used to say something that was like more aggressive or pointed. Now, you can try these things in the different dance, right? And it's still going to be hard because when you start to change your dance steps or start to move out of the dance, people aren't going to like it. It's not that they're not just like, oh, this is a different dance, cool, whatever. Like, these are entrenched patterns around these boundaries or lack of boundaries, and there's going to be like consequences. People are going to try out consequences on you for either removing yourself from the dance or doing a different dance step, but you just kind of have to hold firm over and over again. So that's what I want to offer around boundaries. It's kind of like an idea for what you can do. No, just noticing this dance step. And in this weekend's, in this Sunday Soother, I write about this more extensively. So make sure you're signed up for the Sunday Soother because there'll be an essay about that this weekend. Okay. Second thing I wanted to talk about, protecting your energy. So on my Instagram, at Katherine Andrews, I put up a post today that got a lot of really good responses. 10 ways to protect your energy as a sensitive person during the holidays. So this is the metaphor I use. So I'm an energy, I don't know what you would call me, but I believe in energy. I study energy. I use energy. I respect energy. I have a fluency with energy, right? Energy being nothing more than like people's emotions coming off of you, or energy and being like the chi or the flow of the universe. And what we need to know as sensitive people, you may as well be a walking ball of scotch tape. No matter where you go, who you're around, and especially in crowds, you're going to be picking up and attracting the energy of emotions of others, and it's going to stay stuck to you like dust bunnies to tape, unless you take steps to actively ground, protect, and clear yourself in your energy field. And of course, this is especially important to do during the holidays because of travel, large crowds, potentially complicated family dynamics, very little time alone, right? Which can totally overwhelm and drain sensitive people's nervous systems and energy fields. And so here's some things that you can begin to do to protect your energy as you're traveling or with family members or in any other crowds or situations, like if you're shopping or at a big dinner or anything like that. First, you can learn to shield your energy. So before you go into large crowds or spaces like the airport or dinners, pause before entering the space and imagine sending roots down to the earth. Then visualize a large golden, white, or pink bubble surrounding you and protecting you from everybody else's energy. This is just like your delightful little circular egg-shaped energy sphere. This is a shield, right? Second, take a bath with baking soda and Epsom salts after any travel. Foot baths are fine, or you can scrub yourself in the shower with a mix of, you can just use salt. I mean, you could use like St. Ives body scrub, that's fine. But you could also mix salt and baking soda too. Or if you don't have anything, you can just simply like rub your hands down your skin, imagining that you're brushing energy off of you and flowing it down into the drain. My favorite is the bath of baking soda and Epsom salts. This really clears your energy field a lot. Great for after travel on both sides, so like when you get there and when you go home. And great if you can do it like a couple of times while you're at your destination too. Three, depending where you're staying, like this might not be possible in a hotel room, but you want to smoke cleanse the area, open the windows and shake out the pillows. Sweep if you can, like that might be a little weird, but you kind of want to overall clear out the energy before you settle in. Or even just bring a candle or incense from home and light it to cleanse the space. Next, I would do a cord cutting visualization most nights. You can find a guided one on YouTube or Insight Timer, or you can really just before you go to bed, picture and visualize a large pair of golden scissors gently snipping at energy cords that are attaching you to other people. The idea with energy cords is that we all have them with other people. Like it's kind of how we connect energetically and emotionally with other people. These are great, like they can keep us attached and bonded to people we love. And sometimes we have energy cords with people we have no business having energy cords with. Exes, toxic coworkers, energy vampires, right? And sometimes even those that we love, we need to reset our energy cord with them. So doing a cord cutting visualization every night will help clear your energy field as well. Next, you know what I'm going to say, get into nature and do your earthing and grounding if you can. Just put bare skin to earth to root and ground yourself. You can also go outside and ask the earth or a body of water or the trees to take any negative energy you're holding onto. Just kind of ask with reverence and then visualize sending the energy down into the earth, water, or tree roots. Next, I would consider taking magnesium supplements, though I would probably run that past a medical professional, and also drinking electrolytes. I just drink Gatorade. If you tend to feel fried or have a lot of anxiety or you feel like your nervous system is overloaded, these can help with nerve function. Next, do 4-7-8 breathing once or twice a day. There's lots of videos out there. You can Google them and find out what that exactly looks like. But this is a style of breathing that helps activate the vagus nerve, which is critical in healthy nervous system functioning. Next, I said get into nature and ground, but just get into nature. Just go for walks, runs, even just like getting outside for 5 minutes during a dinner party when you're feeling really overwhelmed can refresh you. Next, bring a little talisman with you or like a mini altar that you can set up in the space that you're staying in. By mini altar, I might have like a picture of a loved one, a crystal, and like a trinket, or just a crystal, or a tarot card that I'm working with that I want to like anchor into and ground with to meditate on over the holidays, or whatever, right? It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be multiple items, just something that's kind of like you can set up that like is a little focal point for you in your room. Finally, just have a script ready to excuse yourself for interactions with people you know will drain your energy. It can just be as simple as like, oh, I think I see Grandma Alice waving me over. Gotta go, bye. Right? Just whatever you need to like get out of those conversations that you know are going to drain your energy. You do not have to stay long in those conversations. It is enough to just say like, hey, I'm leaving. I need to go by. Like it can be that simple. But I know it helps me if I have like a little bit of, I don't know, if I have a little bit of a white lie reason prepared for leaving. That's my own stuff. But like I think it can help too. Also, if you go to my Instagram, and I'll link both of these in the show notes, because what I just said about energy is an Instagram post. I also have a post on reducing overwhelm when traveling for highly sensitive people, but I'm not going to go into that here, but I'll link it in the show notes. Okay, so that's boundaries, energy. And let me connect the two. Energy protection and nervous system care are boundaries work. They're energetic boundaries, and your nervous system is like the original boundaries. And when you settle and ground your nervous system, you'll find it easier to state emotional and intellectual boundaries too. Finally, I wanted to talk about gratitude because Thanksgiving, you know, we're all supposed to be grateful for a lot of things. And, I'm incredibly privileged and I'm grateful for that. And I never connected with gratitude, which frustrates me to no end because I know what a powerful force it can be for feeling good, for manifestation, for focusing on what is in your life, for being thankful. And I still struggle with it. Like, I can intellectually be aware that I'm grateful, and something about it just doesn't fully connect in my body for me. So what I do instead of gratitude is I remember and I list all the ways in which I'm personally powerful in my life, where I have personal responsibility, where I'm taking back my power. There's something about personal agency lists rather than gratitude lists that make me feel the same kind of feeling that I think gratitude does for other people. In my Soothe Mastermind right now, we're on month 2, which is the nervous system month. And we're talking about a variety of states and what like regulates us into like our window of tolerance and our ventral state. And somebody pointed out that personal agency, like when they came to a situation that they felt was hopeless or they felt like they had no power in, they noticed that kind of knocked them into a shame, shutdown, nervous system state. But when they came back and did a list of all the things they could do to actually affect the situation at hand, they noticed it upregulated them into a grounded state. And I thought that was so beautiful of an observation and really powerful because where I think sensitive women and sensitive people generally struggle is like feeling in a shame state and in a passive state where we think what's the point? We don't have any real power in the situation. Why bother? And instead of looking at all the things around you that you should be grateful for, and I want to be grateful and cognizant of all the things I do have in my life, but something about listing all the ways I could actually impact a situation and the steps I could take right then and doing these personal agency lists has been much more powerful for me than gratitude ever was. So I just want to offer that to you in case you've also struggled to connect with gratitude. I don't think there's anything wrong with you. I don't think you're ungrateful. I just think it's like not necessarily the emotional motivating force for some of us, and that's okay. And this works for me, so maybe it'll work for you too. Okay, my friends, that's it. I hope this little midweek pop-up surprise episode on boundaries, energy, and gratitude, if that doesn't work, what to do instead. I hope it was helpful to you. Remember that the waitlist for my Introduction to Intentional Living course is in the show notes. It's open. And I'm going to start promoting the course the day after Thanksgiving. And if you buy off the waitlist, you're going to get 2 free workshops, one on tarot for goal setting and another on integrating your inner critic. They're going to be powerful. So I hope you'll sign up, consider signing up. And I hope wherever you are in the world, whether you celebrate Thanksgiving or not, whether you're in America or not, I just hope you're taking good care of yourself and that these insights and tools might help you continue to do that. Sending love, and I'll see you soon. That's it for this week's Sunday Soother. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you have a moment, go on over to iTunes and leave me a 5-star review. That's how other people find this podcast and the message of hope and compassionate personal growth I'm hoping to spread to many more people just like you. You can find me on Instagram at Katherine Andrews and find out more about The Sunday Soother at thesundaysoother.com. You can also check out my services, courses, and coaching at katherinedandrews.com. Have a great day ahead.